TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. A $300 million freeway built on wetlands and on a lie. Have you ever wished that a cause you were involved with was taken up not just by the neighborhood news, but reported by a high-powered network TV station? This actually happened in Northern California, where residents of Willits have been fighting a $300 million four-lane freeway bypass for over two decades. First, they challenged the planning of it, demanding a smaller design. Since March of 2013, they have been resisting construction. KGO-TV in San Francisco is the home of ABC 7 News. Here's reporter Dan Ashley.
Months of protests have slowed down a controversial Caltrans project, but construction has not stopped. We first told you in last May about this multi-million dollar freeway being built on sensitive wetlands in an area that just doesn't have any cars. Well, that money could be spent on roads anywhere in California, keep in mind, including the Bay Area. And tonight, in a story you will see only on ABC 7, we bring you up to date on what's happening to your transportation dollars. Is Caltrans misleading taxpayers?
The Bay Area is now considered the eighth most congested traffic spot in the world. But Caltrans is planning to spend $300 million in the little town of Willits, where traffic is actually going down. Construction on the new road is already started.
A CEO of a corporation would be fired for this kind of horrible, destructive, costly decision-making.
But Caltrans is determined to keep going.
This has been a top priority of many local agencies, including the Mendocino Council of Governments, for decades.
Willits is 135 miles north of San Francisco on Highway 101, the major route north to Eureka.
It's considered by many to be the lifeline to the North Coast.
That may be true, but by the time 101 goes through Willits, there are only about 8,000 vehicles a day on the road. Caltrans wants to build a four-lane freeway designed to carry roughly 5,000 vehicles an hour. That's $300 million for 6 miles of freeway, all designed to bypass this bottleneck where 101 turns into Main Street. City Councilman Ron Orenstein supports Caltrans' plan. But others say Caltrans' solution is way too expensive and does too much damage to sensitive wetlands.
It's too destructive, and it only serves a very, very small segment of the traffic.
Remember that bottleneck? 70% of it is locals just driving around town. So most of the cars here won't even use the bypass. To get an idea of who would drive on the bypass, we found these photos from Caltrans' own traffic cameras on 101 north of Willits. Caltrans data shows 60% of these vehicles are driving through Willits. So this is closer to the level of traffic that might be expected on the bypass. We also checked the Caltrans traffic cam repeatedly for about 2 months. The only really heavy traffic we saw was during a music festival and on holiday weekends. And Caltrans admits they don't design roads for holidays.
It will be mainly empty because the number of cars that are predicted to use this bypass is so small.
Excerpts of the story on ABC 7 News with an amazingly accurate problem summary. Caltrans, in this report, is California's Department of Transportation, a state agency comparable to those across the U.S. They are responsible for highways, bridges, and rail transportation, as well as public transit. Now back to ABC News, as they offer the first public insight into the lie that was told to get this project approved. Dan Ashley.
So how did a project that seems so out of scale get approved? It started in the mid-90s when Caltrans predicted traffic in the area would grow by 60% over 20 years. It didn't. In fact, traffic went down. But the size of the freeway plan has not changed. Caltrans first claimed only four-lane routes were considered due to a Federal Highway Administration requirement. They posted it on their website, told us that in an interview, and constantly repeated
federal
it to
critics. It doesn't mean federal highways.
But this letter from a federal transportation engineer says that's not true. It says level of service is not determinative of the eligibility for federal aid. So what does that mean? It means it's up to the state and Caltrans, not the federal government.
Caltrans has revised its website, but claims the earlier statement was still true, indirectly.
It's true in the context that the Federal Highways Administration requires us to meet the purpose and need for a project.
Construction is starting with just two lanes, but tens of millions of extra dollars are being spent to prepare the area for four.
All the permits are for a four-lane project. We purchased the land for a four-lane project.
Critics are not giving up.
The entire project could be shrunk back to a true two-lane road. It's not too late.
The environmental impact of the bypass is so extensive, Caltrans is required to do $50 million of mitigation to compensate. We have links to Caltrans plans and the bypass opponents at abc7news.com. Click on See It on TV. It's very interesting stuff.
Fascinating story.
This TUC Radio Going Home special introduces some of those who discovered that Caltrans was telling a lie. Many who united under the name Save Our Little Lake Valley have appealed to political leaders and regulatory agencies, used the courts, did community events, gave tours through the wetlands to make people aware of what was about to be destroyed, researched alternative routes, and even showed willingness to scale down the four-lane layout of the 6-mile bypass to no avail. And the single biggest obstacle to all their efforts was the claim by Caltrans that they were forced by the Federal Highway Administration, the FHA, to build a four-lane freeway. Work has begun in early 2013 with logging, grading, pile driving, and the planned draining of a 40-acre portion of the wetlands by ramming over 55,000 so-called wick drains 80 feet deep into the earth. By now, over 40 people of all ages have been arrested in acts of civil disobedience. And during a hard, dry summer, where the town of Willits was short of water, every day, the equivalent of all the water going through the town's treatment plant was used to spray the graded areas for dust control and compaction. One aspect that unites all townspeople in opposition to the project is their grief and anger at the pending destruction of the precious wetlands. This was the longest still existing salmon run in California. The salmon came from the Pacific Ocean up the Eel River and crossed the wetlands to reach their spawning grounds. Ellen Drell is the co-founder of the Willits Environmental Center.
Willits is about a 6,000-acre valley surrounded by coastal mountains, just, you know, 1,000, 2,000 feet. And the valley is a place where about six streams flow in from the west, from the east, and from the south, and all converge in this pancake flat valley, and then join into one stream and slowly make their way to a little outflow area at the north end of the valley. And then it drops in elevation a little more quickly, and so it becomes a regular rushing mountain stream that goes on to join a larger river, which in turn flows north and goes into the Pacific Ocean, quite a bit north of where we are. One hydrologist that we know described it as an inland delta. And we love that image because the valley is so flat. When all these rushing mountain streams converge in this valley, and when we have heavy rains, not only are the creeks rushing, so they can't pour out of the valley as fast as the water's coming into the valley. And that's what forms the lake. And the valley around Willits is called Little Lake Valley. So in heavy rains and in normal winters, a good portion of the northern part of Little Lake Valley is standing water. It's a lake. That's the kind of wetland that most people think of when they think of wetlands. But this wetland is especially wonderful in that as the winter rains recede, the water drains out, and the creeks continue to run, usually through the end of June. But by the end of June, even the creeks turn into just isolated pools, and the valley itself becomes this green pasture where there's a lot of grazing, horses and cattle and sheep, and it's long-time area where ranching has taken place. So what this wetland, what this seasonal wetland provides for the local area and for downstream ecology, because the water recedes in the summer, it sits there in the late summer and the early fall as a sponge, ready to receive the next winter's rain. So when the next winter rain comes, it just doesn't rush down the creeks and out of the valley and out into the next creek and out to the ocean. It actually comes into Little Lake Valley where it's absorbed for weeks and weeks on end, and this sponge absorbs all this moisture again, and with it, all this wintertime wetland life comes back to life. There are fish, there are what we call water dogs, these little newt-like creatures. There are ducks and other wetland species and migratory birds that use the wetlands. So it turns into a different kind of environment in the winter. We actually get two things from this seasonal wetland. This is what Caltrans is running its freeway through, because as far as they were concerned, there was nothing in the way to impede their freeway.
That was Ellen Dwell. Julia Dakin Frick manages with her husband the Family Land Trust south of Willits. She became involved in traffic issues around Caltrans and connected with the Save Our Little Lake Valley group for one strategic reason. She told me that checking Caltrans claims and numbers would provide the best chances of halting or at least downscaling the project. However, the breakthrough for her, Christopher Martin and Rich Estabrook, came only recently. It was the proof that Caltrans had not only cooked the books on traffic numbers, but had lied in their application, on their website, and to all agencies and elected officials by claiming they were forced to build a four-lane freeway by the FHA.
For many, many years, since before 2002, Caltrans has been claiming that the Federal Highway Administration would not allow or fund anything that did not achieve level of service C. More recently, this has been on their website as the reason that two-lane alternatives were never seriously considered or studied. So that has been extremely important because in the preliminary injunction hearing, the judge referenced that as, you know, basically saying Caltrans had no choice. They had to achieve level of service C because of the Federal Highway Administration. So I have many, many places where this is repeated. In March, Malcolm Dougherty, who is the director of Caltrans, wrote a letter to our state senator, Noreen Evans, repeating that same thing, saying that four lanes had to be the project because the Federal Highway Administration wouldn't approve anything less. That sounded a little fishy to Rich Estabrook, who had some experience with the Federal Highway Administration. And a few months ago, he submitted a Public Records Act request both to Caltrans and to the Federal Highway Administration. The Federal Highway Administration didn't have anything to support that. They, you know, were nice enough to send a letter saying that level of service is not determinative for funding from Federal Highway Administration, that Caltrans, state and local governments could come up with any projects that would have been approved by the Federal Highway Administration as long as they would have reduced congestion in Willits. There was also the Public Records Act request submitted to Caltrans, and they were not able to come up with a single rule, policy, law, anything. That was also confirmed by Malcolm Dougherty at our meeting with him. He said that, you know, well, requirement isn't exactly the right word. So had this lie basically never been told to justify why level of service C was used, the outcome may have been completely different.
That was Julia Dakin Frick. And that is at the heart of the story as it unfolds in mid-September 2013. The State Department of Transportation used a lie to get a permit. Now do the agencies and politicians that based their consent on that lie have the courage or conviction to pull the permits? Theoretically, submitting false information should lead to the suspension or alteration of the permit that Caltrans obtained from the Army Corps of Engineers. And the Corps has been asked by coalition members to call a halt to construction. However, since the Corps of Engineers has not altered or withdrawn any permit in at least 20 years, they have not acted as of production of this program on September 17, 2013. Where does this level of service classification letter C come from that was used by Caltrans? There's a Highway Capacity Manual, the HCM, a publication of the U.S. Transportation Research Board. It contains concepts and guidelines for highway facilities. This manual not only is the standard for all freeways, highways, and roads in the U.S., but has been adopted across the world. Critics say it promotes larger and wider roads. That in a time of climate crisis, when traffic needs to be reduced, and highway projects with huge amounts of earth movement by diesel trucks and graders, the pouring of miles of cement lanes and overpasses, are in themselves major contributors to CO2 emissions. And in Willits, a wetland that is in itself a precious carbon sink, is in danger of being replaced by cement. Christopher Martin, a former city planner who lives in Willits, is part of the group that studied the Highway Capacity Manual. They set out to investigate why on earth Caltrans, against all evidence, including the counts they themselves undertook, so hugely inflated the amount of traffic that would be using the Willits bypass. Christopher Martin.
The interesting question here is why Caltrans would bother to fudge these numbers. Because obviously this project is not about traffic volume, so why would they go to the bother of cooking the books here? And the answer to that relates to an even more interesting question. This is the real mystery, which is how on earth did Caltrans, given the minuscule amount of traffic that is likely to use this bypass, how did Caltrans manage to persuade everyone involved, from Willits City Council up to the chairman of the California Transportation Commission, and all the agencies, how did they manage to persuade all of those actors that only a four-lane freeway would meet the needs of this project? And the answer, as we've already seen, is level of service. Level of service is a metric which comes from the Highway Capacity Manual, and it's like a design guide for highway engineers. And level of service is defined therein as a qualitative measure that characterizes a driver's experience within a traffic stream, which in English means it's a way of trying to assess how satisfactory the driver's experience is of the road. It goes from A to F. So level of service A would be free flow with low volumes and high speeds. B is reasonably free flow. Level of service C is in stable flow zone, but most drivers are restricted in the freedom to select their own speeds. D, approaching unstable flow. E, unstable flow, maybe short stoppages. F, unacceptable congestion. The basic value underlying the concept of level of service is having the freedom to select their own speeds. So there's a very strong bias underlying this level of service concept in favor of overtaking lanes, which is not surprising because it's invented by highway engineers, and to a highway engineer, four lanes is always better than two lanes.
Christopher Martin, he with Rich Estabrook and Julia Dakin-Freck, made a film for YouTube that shows point by point how Caltrans inflated the traffic numbers to arrive at the need for a level of service C and a four-lane freeway. The ABC News story included the comment by Caltrans spokesperson Phil Frisby that even though the FHA does not require a level of service C, they do, quote, want us to meet the purpose and need for the project. Julia Dakin-Freck.
The problem with that is there have been laws since the 70s, stronger environmental laws in California, NEPA and CEQA, that make it illegal to have the agency design a roadway that they just want. It has to be justified somehow. They have to make the case that the damage to the environment will be less than the greater good to basically the town or the interregional traffic. So that's why they had to go through all the trouble of creating this purpose and need statement that eliminated these alternatives, and why they had to say things like Federal Highways is making us do this, and why they had to increase the traffic volumes, because they had to make the case that a four-lane freeway was necessary.
Explain what this four-lane option did for the design of the Northern Interchange, where the bypass reconnects with a two-lane road north.
So the Northern Interchange is a mile north of Willits and the Quail Meadows, which is a wetland, and it takes up 40 acres, and 40 acres is about two-thirds of the overall wetland fill area. So it's a major part of the impact of the whole bypass plan. Before 2006, the plan was for a freeway. The whole thing was going to be built, both phases. There was no phasing. Then the money was reduced. And they also had in their plans that the Northern Interchange would actually be a signalized intersection, which a signalized intersection would be a much, much smaller project. And it's designed, you know, for two lanes. We have many, many references to that. It's in the 2006 project report. That's what they submitted to the Army Corps as their plan. But then, you know, around 2008, 2009, more money became available. And for some reason, they decided to put the full freeway interchange back into the plan. And they weren't totally clear with the Army Corps on this. There's references to the Army Corps asking for, you know, what changes in design were there throughout the phasing, and that they had planned to do a signalized intersection for a couple of years in between was never mentioned. What we're getting is an I-5 style interchange on 40 acres for a very, very small amount of traffic. And it's the biggest wetland fill project in Northern California in 50 years. It is going to have huge environmental impacts. They're going to be hauling fill. A lot of the fill is going to the Northern Interchange. So that's a reason that, you know, it's over the last few weeks, there's been a push to at least modify that if possible. And the benefits to that would be that, you know, it would cost taxpayers a lot less. It would eliminate 29 acres of wetland fill, and the reduction in potential flooding for Willits is also kind of a big deal, because when you have the water coming down from the west side, it hits the interchange, the raised interchange in the wick drains, and just stops and sort of heads down instead of going through into the wetlands. So there are many reasons why it would be a huge benefit, a significant reduction in the amount of time it would complete. It makes sense for a lot of reasons. Also because the second phase, because of, you know, level of service C and the inflated traffic volume numbers, phase two is never going to be completed. And most people know that. In fact, there was somebody at the CTC who said on the record that, you know, you guys are never going to get phase two. It's just never going to happen. So it makes no sense at all to build a freeway-style interchange when a signalized intersection or a roundabout would do just as well or even better.
That was Julia Dakin Frick. Ellen Drell, Willits Environmental Center.
So we have the Army Corps of Engineers who issued this permit, who has never before, by their own admission, withdrawn a permit, but only tried to fix it by adding more mitigations. The Army Corps of Engineers is now twisting in the wind. They just recently sent a very strong-sounding non-compliance letter to Caltrans, not the first one, by the way, with a laundry list of things Caltrans must accomplish by certain dates, and asking questions about what's happening at the Northern Interchange area in those wetlands areas, asking questions demanding that they be answered. And the latest we heard is that Caltrans canceled the meeting that the Corps was demanding they have with them to talk about these wetlands. So the question is now, in this unfolding drama, will the Army Corps act or will they not? Will they continue to twist in the wind? As you can imagine, we citizens here in Willits who are seeing the effects of all this on the ground, are in contact with the Army Corps of Engineers, certainly on a weekly basis, begging them to do their job. And they have full authority to call a halt to what Caltrans is doing until their questions are answered. In the Army Corps of Engineers 404 permit, they have the authority to withdraw the permit if, certainly if Caltrans is violating conditions of it, which they are, and if it turns out that Caltrans gave them false information when they were working on their permit, information that's the basis of their permit turned out to be false. Both of those situations exist. So the Army Corps has the authority to revoke the permit. We're asking the Army Corps to call a halt to Caltrans' work at the Northern Interchange site. I mean, that is a, some would consider a despicable compromise position. But that's what a lot of people are asking for at this point, because so much damage has already been done, irrevocable damage on the rest of the bypass footprint. But at the northern end, where those most precious wetlands are, and where there's this huge interchange design, which is so blatantly unnecessary, we're asking the Army Corps to say, stop work in that area now. Revoke your permit if you need to, but if it doesn't even go so far as revoking the permit, just call for a halt on the work in that northern interchange while your questions are answered and while, together with citizens, we put forward this old design that called for an intersection design that would have an impact on about a fourth, 25% of the wetlands that over what Caltrans is proposing now. So that's what we're asking the Army Corps to do.
Ellen Dwell is the co-founder of the Willits Environmental Center. A little ditty makes the rounds. What did you do when you knew that Caltrans had lied to you? It is asked of the Council People, Supervisors, Army Corps of Engineers, Department of Fish and Wildlife, State Senator, up to Governor Brown. An exposure like this story had on network TV makes it impossible to deny. Everybody with any power to halt the destruction or to reduce the scale has received a letter, a visit, or a phone call from Save Our Little Lake Valley. Nobody can say they did not know. So what do you do when you know that Caltrans has lied on their permit application? You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, www.tucradio.org. There you can also find links to the website of Save Our Little Lake Valley and more connections. This was a program in the series Going Home, dedicated to those who fight for transparency and are willing to risk arrest for a livable future. TUC Radio takes its name from an aeronautical term. Time of useful consciousness is the time between the beginning of oxygen deficiency and the loss of consciousness, the brief moment in which a pilot may save the plane. My name is Maria Glöden. Thank you for listening.